On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, John and I are talking to our good friend Bill Stinnett of Sales Excellence. We're going to chat about everything from the Super Bowl to super selling to hairless cats.
Hairless cats.
So stay tuned, and we will see you on the other side.
Boom.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
And we are excited. We have a very special guest in today.
Bill Stinnett, Sales Excellence.
A gentleman that John and I know very well. Well, we've gotten to know very well over the last 30 to 45 days. And Bill's local here in Sarasota. He couldn't make it into the office, but we have a nice call with him lined up. So we're excited to talk to him. We're back for our second episode of 2019.
Crazy.
We're already at the end of January. It's already February by the time this came out.
This is the Wednesday before Super Bowl. Yeah, that we're broadcasting or actually
just
recording.
Giving it all away, aren't you?
What's your Super Bowl pick
before now that this is probably coming out after Super Bowl's happened? So what's your pre Super Bowl pick, and then we can look back and see how ridiculously off we were.
Well, I am just biased 100% against. I mean, it's just
you're pro Rams.
I'm pro Rams or anybody playing the Patriots. That's just me. Sorry, Northeast. Sorry, the Patriots fans. But that's
So you're rooting for you're rooting for the Rams. But what's your prediction on the game?
That the Patriots will win.
Yeah, me too. how can you bet against them?
I'm not betting.
No, I'm saying, but like, how? I mean,
I want to root for the underdog. Yeah. I want to root for the underdog and the guys that don't have four or five rings.
Four or five. Do they have like six? Or I don't even know how many they have at this point.
It was ask me a question, I'll give you a straight answer.
I think the Patriots are going to win. It's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I think it always is.
Having said that, I'll probably be like 10-9 Patriots will win on a last second Adam Vinatieri field goal, who's not even playing for the Patriots anymore, but
he'll come in for a special appearance. He'll
bring him in,
parachute him down, and yeah.
It's interesting because the Rams and the Patriots played 2001. 2000, somewhere around then, when Kurt Warner led Rams and the Patriots were the big underdog, and
right.
Tom Brady sort of would, if they won again, beat the Rams again, and maybe put like a little bookends on that dynasty.
Yeah.
But he says he's not retiring. So anyways, we're off on, conversation for
the guy is, I mean, he got it. I mean, look at how many Super Bowl rings can you have? And you got a model as a wife and beautiful kids. It's like, he's got it. I mean,
he's got it all,
I guess. Play a few more years.
He's going to play until he's 50.
I think so.
What's going to stop him?
Well, his legs.
Unless he gets hurt, yeah.
His legs. He runs like a giraffe. He can't run.
He just hit 1,000 yards this past year.
I know.
No, but
what does he run a 40 in about?
It doesn't matter.
Eight seconds?
He throws a 40. He throws the ball. And you can't even get to him. He throws the ball in like 0.2 seconds. It's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, so what are we talking about here?
Poor Bill. He got lost way back.
How does this relate back to telecommunications? We don't know. So what's going on in your world, John? Anything?
Life's pretty good. Just got a lot of stuff coming up. Doing some
busy.
Very busy. Doing some new onboarding of partners. We've got some new materials that we're putting together. So it's been a hectic like 6 weeks straight of trying to pull that together and make sure that our partners, we're giving the best we can give them so they can be successful.
Absolutely. And if you're a partner out there and you're going to be traveling, if you're out in a couple of shows, you can look for us. We'll be at the ASCII show out in LA at the end of February. We'll be at Channel Partners in April. If you're interested in going to Channel Partners, you can check out our website where we have a discount code where you can actually get a free pass or a free ticket into Channel Partners. So if you're interested in that, you can check out our website for more information on Channel Partners.
And you go to our website if you want to actually, you're interested in becoming a partner.
Absolutely.
We have Boston coming up in March.
Yep.
You look at the dates actually on our website and go register for those. Call us, ask us more about what we do. Happy to talk to you, and call me directly, John Roth. Find me. And then we also have
867-5309. That's your phone number, right?
No, that's not it. But you call. You can find me. And then we have one going on in Vegas. Right, it's a Channel Partner event or close to
it. It's with
Channel.
Around the same dates as Channel
Partner. Yeah, so we have one going on in Vegas in the month of April.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we got a lot going on, and I think we should bring Bill on. What do you think?
Let's bring Bill on.
Yeah, because one of the things that we're excited about for 2019 is we're going to be offering some soft skill training for our partners.
Absolutely.
Through Bill and his yeah. team. So let's talk a little bit about that, Bill. And
let's get Bill on the line. Come on,
call
Bill.
Him up.
Come
on.
Bill?
Hello,
Bill? Is that you?
Bill. John and I are now joined by Bill Stinnett, who is the founder and president and CEO and head honcho at Sales Excellence. Bill, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure to be here.
And Bill, you're coming to us from the frigid cold air. Of course, you're somewhere in a metropolis like New York City or Chicago or LA, correct? No?
Well, I am in Bradenton, Florida, about 4 miles up from you, but I do have to confess these harsh Florida winters are starting to get to me. It was down to 39 degrees the other morning. I told my wife, I want to get a winter home down south, maybe like Costa Rica or something like that. So.
And Bill, we've been working with Bill now for a few months here at Star to Star, Bill and his team at Sales Excellence. And I got to say, we were blown away by Bill and what he has to offer. So, Bill, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your company and what you guys do and sort of give us an overview of your history and how you got into this space.
Yeah, thanks. I sure will. So I've been at this game of selling for about 30 years, I guess. And 17 years ago, I had gone to enough sales training courses. I was sitting in a sales training course in North Carolina. And I just thought to myself, you know, I could do better than this guy. And so I decided I'd start my own company and do training and so forth. But it's been a wild ride. We've worked with about 300 different companies now in the last 17 years and expanded a few different offices around the world. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for asking.
And you're published too, right? You've written a couple of books.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to have a couple of books published on McGraw-Hill. Think Like Your Customer came out in 2004, and then we followed that up with a book called Selling Results in 2006.
Well, it's been 13 years now. It's time for a new book, Bill. What's the holdup?
Yeah, good question. So number of books written before Married with Children is 2. Number of books written after Married with Children is 0. So
there it is. Yeah.
So that, it's not your fault, technically. No. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not my fault. Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's not my fault.
Oh, no, that's too funny.
I use that one a lot, though. Yeah.
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 I look at it. My take on that is number of golf rounds played before marriage every weekend, number of golf rounds played since, not marriage, but for kids, since kids, like 10 total.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
No, Bill has we worked with Bill. We started working with Bill back in, I guess it was December of last year, and Bill came to our sales kickoff with his team, and we're going to be working with Bill throughout the year to help not only our internal folks with some sales training, but also our partners, and we're going to be building out some soft skill training for our partners. Something that we're really excited about. Not only investing in our team, but also our partners and their businesses. So, Bill, what are some of the basic fundamentals that you sort of tout for people as they get into sales or as they're trying to improve their company sales?
Yeah, thanks. Good question. As I indicated, that first book that I wrote called Think Like Your Customer, kind of rooted in a story I won't take the time to tell here, but as a kid growing up fishing with my dad, he always said, if you want to catch a fish, you got to think like a fish. Believe it or not, it's a somewhat fresh idea. Wherever I go, people seem to think this is somewhat unusual, which is we need to slow down just enough to try to understand our customers and where they're at with their business and what they're trying to do with their business before we start pitching things. And while everybody intuitively believes this in their heart, it's really difficult to apply.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
I think there's this some sort of habit or just a default setting for a salesperson, and me too. I get on the phone with a client, and the first thing I want to do is tell them all the great things about our company and the latest product offerings we have. But you know what I've learned is if we're slow down enough to ask a few questions and try to understand what they're already trying to do and then position what we sell to help them do what they already want to do, selling actually becomes more like helping. There's not much selling involved at all.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I looked at your, I was at the sales kickoff and we met before, and I did some sales training with a guy. He probably had 100 plus people, and he talked about the doctor-patient approach, which is listening more, finding out why are you here? Okay, you're here because obviously there's enough pain and I decided to make an appointment to see you. And typically that's what a customer does. They say, yes, come in and see me. And if we don't uncover exactly what they need, and you can prescribe and go, like I've gone to the doctor recently and say, you're a little overweight and your blood sugar is a little high. So you could walk and actually improve your diet and that would help. So it's like, it's up to you if you want to do it. So that's kind of when I look at it, like, okay, I don't want to feel like this anymore. So I started doing a few things. And I think that's when you did the sales training, it just brought that back for me. It's like, if we find out what they need, what their pains are, and if we can offer a solution to that, we offer the solution, and it's up to them to take it. And it really is more of a, you're helping them achieve what their needs are, is like, so they can retain more of their customers, keep them, serve more customers, make their customers happy. That's the goal of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could take so many different forms depending on the kind of company that you're calling on. But if it's a for-profit company, they're probably in it for profit.
Yep.
and they're in it for, as you said, attracting more customers, retaining more customers, improve efficiency, whatever it might be, customer service ratings. If we can understand what some of those key metrics and measures are that they're trying to drive, then maybe we can align with how our stuff helps them to drive that. And so it's not rocket science. But as I said, it's hard to stay focused on this and stay, let's say, disciplined enough to really take the time to ask some good questions, because I think that we wouldn't call up and say, what are your pains today? Or, I'm a doctor here. I'm a podiatrist. Do your feet hurt today? we have to probably go in and learn to ask some good diagnostic questions to help a customer to conclude, maybe I could use some of your help.
Right.
If we're just polling customers to see who already wants to buy what we sell, certainly we're going to find a few that are already a little ways down the path. But it's getting them to think differently than they were thinking before we rang the phone that is the real key, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in the space today, and not even in telecom, but in sort of the sales landscape across different verticals, customer service and listening to your customer has sort of become the be all end all, or the what everybody's striving to do, especially when you think about Twitter and Facebook and in places like that, where your customers are having a conversation without you, and possibly positive, possibly negative, but you've seen brands jump in and try to steer those conversations in the right way, or try to use that as a feedback loop. But I think the advice you had in 2004, and even you would say it wasn't revolutionary, but the sort of the idea that you put forth 15 years later is still the most important thing out there. And it's just interesting to see, even as we get more advanced from a technical standpoint and we have more technology and we can listen more and we can watch more and we can see more, it still just really comes down to, what is the customer saying and how do we fix that? And how do we, address those problems, or look at them as opportunities, or whatever the case is. So it's just interesting to see how, even as we get more and more and more and more quicker and the cycles are faster and whatever the case is, it just really comes down to listening. It's so simple.
It really does. You talk about it. It's not rocket science, but we have a lot of rocket scientists out there in sales that are trying to create the perfect, here's my pitch and I've got this. And it's like, if you just slow down and take it easy and just find out, what's the problem that they're having? And the other thing I brought up in a sales kickoff, because I thought it was important, how does this affect you personally?
Yeah, right.
As part of that organization, exactly. Because now you're bringing in the emotion. Now you're now you're really engaged. That's a personal emotion. That's like, I could lose my job, or I could lose good people if I don't get this fixed. And so I think it's we get down to that personal level and just make it, keep it simple, keep it very simple.
KISS.
Yes, I don't want to say the last word, but keep it simple, Sam.
There you go.
So how do you, when you're talking to companies now, how do you advise them to listen in places like social media? Like, what is your, you know, what is your take on how they should use those platforms?
Yeah, good question. I think that listening is, as John just said, is crucial, but we have to precede that by asking good questions. And so I find that the most effective kind of questions to ask are those that are tied back to how we've helped some other companies previously. So whether we're using social media or whether we're calling somebody on the phone or we're stepping into a meeting with a client, I find that most customers respond well to talking about the kind of business results we've helped others like them to achieve. So if we can think of other companies that are either in the same industry, or it can be in the same city, or as I like to say, even just somebody who has a similar problem, a completely different industry, but the same challenge, whether it's through customer retention or some other factor, we can tell a story about how we've already helped somebody else. That becomes pretty compelling, especially we can tie it to a metric, and maybe we could even tie that to some sort of tangible monetary value in terms of a positive outcome. Then those conversations become far more interesting to people, as opposed to just showing up and saying, "What's your pain today?"
Yeah.
So it does take a bit of preparation, I think, to be diagnostic. You use the doctor example. Doctors spend an unbelievable amounts of time, not only in their initial education, but in their ongoing education on the kinds of questions to ask and the kind of challenges or health challenges their patients might be facing, so they can really dig in and do the diagnostics as well as they can each time somebody walks in.
Yeah, I think that's, we talk about just really keeping it simple. It's tough to do because we want to, just we have somebody live that's ready to talk to us. It's like we go into the, we spray them. We spray them with all our feature facts, benefits, you know, the old hamburger with the spike on the top. Remember that back in the sales days? I know you do remember, Bill.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. It was a hamburger where you had feature fact benefit. It was a picture.
Yeah.
And you had the spike through it, which is like the big toothpick.
Okay. Yeah.
Held it all together. Bill, you remember that?
I do not remember that.
Oh,
John.
Gosh. Come on, Bill. You do.
I think me and David are way too young to recall.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. Well,
that's what it is. That's what it is.
All right.
Oh, Bill got you on that one, John.
Okay. You got me on that one. But it's
is there a hot dog version of this, or just is it
no,
only
it
a hamburger?
No, it was a hamburger. It was you had the basis, and then you had your feature, your fact, your benefit of it.
That was like the lettuce and tomato.
Was your...
Okay, I get the analogy.
Yeah.
I really like Swiss cheese, if you don't mind putting some of that on there.
We'll get into that later, actually.
We're actually going to come back to that, Bill.
So hold that thought.
Hold that thought. Mark that down on your pad. We're going to come back to the Swiss cheese part of it.
So, Bill, what are the kinds of things that sales excellence does for companies today? Like, what are a few of the things that you guys really focus on or really like to do?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and thanks for asking that too. You know, when we started the business, it was 2001, and sales training really took one form. Well, I guess two forms. A lot of companies were offering a public forum for training. In other words, we're going to hold a workshop or a seminar in New York City, and anybody that wants to show up can for $1,800 or whatever. That was one form. We decided to focus more on-site training. So we would come to you. We'd custom tailor a program just for your company, et cetera. But over the years, what we've seen is more and more companies are adopting technology to actually replicate or in some cases even eliminate the classroom experience. And so over the past 2 or 3 years, we've seen more and more of our clients moving toward live video training, which is surprisingly effective. I got to tell you, I kind of went into it kind of kicking and screaming, thinking you're never going to replace that live classroom experience. But I got to tell you, it's fantastic with the technology we use today for that. We can teach teams of salespeople sitting at their desk in their own house in their pajamas if they want to join that way. But we're also doing a lot more with e-learning as well. And so there's a lot of advantages to breaking things down into more bite-sized chunks, allowing people to access them from wherever they happen to be sitting, even the front seat of their car out front of their client's office or something, but then also in an asynchronous manner so everybody can kind of learn on their own time. Perhaps the perfect world and what we really try to promote is a combination of those. So a classroom a lot of times is a great way to get things started, but then we combine live video with e-learning and so forth to create something that kind of varies the medium, and that keeps it interesting for people as well. But that's what we've been doing lately, and a lot of companies are finding that of great value, and it drives a ton of money out of the process in terms of what it costs to do training. And it drives a lot of time out of the field out too, which is pretty attractive for most companies.
You know, one of the things you just brought up, the mediums, I think that in this day and time, we are just inundated with all forms of media coming at us, whether it be email, whether it be LinkedIn, chat. So many chats.
Like people text me,
yeah.
They G-chat me, they Facebook message me. I can't keep LinkedIn message. It's
overwhelming.
I need to like unify all this. It's too much.
So tell me a little bit about what you found in the last number of years. What's been some effective? You brought up some stats when you were actually at our sales kickoff. Can you go through that of like the mediums that people are using now and the effectiveness of each of those?
Well, yeah, good question. So there obviously are a variety of new ways to reach out to people. LinkedIn is a great example of a medium that's extremely popular in the business world. I must confess, I have not leveraged Twitter and Facebook and some of the social mediums as much as I probably should, because I find that a lot of the audience or the people we'd want to sell to aren't necessarily accessing that for the purpose of learning things about business. But LinkedIn is a good example. I see a lot of people, of course, using these days just meeting invitations through Outlook or Gmail or some other format for that. But we shouldn't forget about the value of a good old-fashioned handwritten note or a good old-fashioned letter that we send over, although I don't think snail mail is the way to do it. We always propose sending that express mail via FedEx or DHL or something like that. But the real secret, John, that we've observed here over the last few years, and we work with a company that does testing on these kinds of things and is really to put a lot of empirical evidence together to show that the magic comes when you combine these mediums. So what happens, I think, when people say, oh, well, LinkedIn, that statistic Bill told about 19 times more likely to be opened. Wow, I'm just going to only use LinkedIn. No, you missed the point.
There you go.
Yep. LinkedIn is one of the things to use. But I always want to encourage people to combine that with a letter via FedEx and a telephone call. Let's not forget we can call people, right? And email and a handwritten note and LinkedIn and carrier pigeon and smoke signals and whatever you can make up, right, to get a hold of people.
Exactly.
Mix it up a little bit.
I think that's the point. And the other thing you talked about was like when we're doing, let's say we send an email campaign, I'm going to send out to 10,000 potential prospects. I mean, it's like, wow. And if I get 1% back, oh, I'm thrilled. I think that, you know, you pointed out is like, you know what, let's get that down to a narrower list. You know, instead of a shotgun blast, we're trying to do some sniper fire. Let's find that partner that we're trying to bring on or that customer, five or 10 to make it a manageable, and then hit them with these different forms of medium. And you're going to find out that's their favorite form of medium to communicate with me. They want to talk to me over, and I pick up the phone and I call them. We make a relationship, and that's one of those that you basically you'll get more out of that by just narrowing down your field of fire. You agree?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with going at scale and reaching out to 10,000 people using some medium. That's fine. I like to call that more tactical prospecting, or in fact, it's really marketing is what that is, which is nothing wrong with marketing.
Hate on marketing.
No, it's not. It's just not business development, which is fine. But if we're going to be reaching out proactively and really getting noticed, I think it requires some focus. It requires a little bit of preparation, some planning, some research, and so forth before you reach out. And then reaching out via several different mediums, you can't do that times 200 customers, let alone 5,000. So you have to have what I like to call a short list, 3 or 4, 5 accounts tops right now for the next 30 days so you can really dig in. And then next month, kind of wash through that and,
exactly,
and refresh the list and pick out another 3 companies to focus on. The ones that we didn't get through to, they go back in the pool. The ones we did get through to, maybe they turn into an opportunity. But yeah, some focus is what's missing a lot of times from our proactive outreach.
Yeah, I think salespeople also get stuck in the fact that they're focused on that 3 or 4, and then all of a sudden they've got, I sold a couple, and they forget now that pipeline still has to be filled. They have to backfill and continue doing that, and that's where we become. They become great, not just salespeople. They become great salespeople.
Yeah, great point.
I think it's a difference, too, and like you mentioned, Bill, there's a difference between a marketing qualified lead and a sales qualified lead. And you have to be able to try to determine or sort of sort through which are the ones you're looking for. And if you're looking for more of a brand outreach type play, then you'll go for the more MQL, the marketing qualified lead. And if you're looking to turn that more into a direct sale, then you can turn it into a more of a business development opportunity. So I think there's a time and place for both. I think your point, John, if it's sales that you're focused on today, like turning those prospects, then you got to narrow your list down.
Absolutely.
If you're looking to drive brand awareness and to drive some longer strategic play,
that's a marketing
advantages to that as well. But obviously the magic is in doing some combination of the two.
Yeah, well, the magic really starts by just doing it, you know, do something, because and we find a lot of companies that out there and they think this through and go, well, okay, I'm going to do some marketing, and then they don't do it. So, you know, one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago is that how we can help with that. Yeah. So if you're on this, something that we can do from our own perspective, we have some tools that are just valuable, and let's get that marketing, that tactical approach going, and then bringing you into the fold from a sales excellence standpoint to go, now let's teach you how to take the ones that are rising to the top, the ones that are mm-hmm. bubbling up, that we're getting some activity from. That's where mm-hmm. your approach and where your team could help our partners tremendously. What a great sure. was that? That's like an ad for you.
That's
almost,
unbelievable. I mean, you should be like a Mad Men guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, I'll give you the $50 later. Okay.
All right.
So, Bill, if you were to leave our partners who are listening with a couple of, like, what are a couple of tips that they could take home that they could do on a daily or weekly or even monthly basis that may not make not going to obviously drive home 1,000 more leads, but may make their sales approach a little bit more effective and a little bit more approach that may sort of help them in what they're doing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, what comes to mind off the top of my head, David, is to really think about what are the top three or four things that your customers are likely faced with right now. Now, not every customer is exactly the same. You might even have to kind of segment or categorize, if you've got different customer types, what these things might be. Let's imagine you had three or four things that you knew were pretty likely to be a good topic of conversation for a lot of the companies that we'd reach out to. If you could turn that into some good diagnostic questions and then have an example of how you've helped a company to accomplish something in that particular area, and that becomes a conversation starter. Let me give you an example. At Sales Excellence, one of the things we help companies do is fill their pipeline. Another one we help them do, for example, is improve the accuracy of their forecast. Well, those two things right there, let's throw in a third one that says maybe better negotiate. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're keeping more of our profit. If I call up a company that I don't know at all, but maybe I've done a little bit of research and preparation, if I go down any of those three paths, especially let's say, John, I was wondering, you know, a lot of companies in your industry tell us that they're really struggling with the accuracy of their sales forecast. Is that ever a challenge for you guys at your company?
Absolutely.
Everybody I call says yes. Right?
Yeah. So, how could they say no to that, right?
Yeah, we help companies fill their sales pipeline. The real challenge, of course, is like you said, John, is that we empty a pipeline out the end of the year, December, we close everything we can. We get to January and the thing's sitting there empty, right? Now we got to build it up again. Is that ever a challenge you guys have, Mr. Johnson, at your company?
Yeah.
Everybody seems to say yes. Right. And so figure out a couple of things that you can kind of the conversation starters that are likely to be a place to start. And occasionally you'll get a customer says, nope, absolutely not. We've got a very full pipeline. Beautiful.
Well, excellent.
I'd like to know how you did that. Would you mind teaching me something? Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of make light of it, but you can turn that into very simply, well, if you've got a full pipeline, then what are you doing to empty the pipeline? How's that working? How do you push things through in a timely manner? Do you ever find
great
that deals kind of get stuck in there and you're not able to actually bring it to closure in a timely fashion? So we just have to think through what are the three or four or five challenges that are really likely to be a hit, and then go out and talk to people about it. And sometimes it's not what you expect it's going to be, but that's at least a good place to start. And I'll just repeat, if you've got a couple of examples about how you've helped some other companies to improve in those areas, then I very few people that you can't get a conversation started with.
So do you suggest to your clients that they do some role playing and sort of try to talk through these challenges or what the questions might be? Or how do you suggest you sort of train yourself to listen for these clues and be able to ask these diagnostic questions, but in a more conversational manner.
Yeah. No, David, that's fantastic. We forgot about role playing, and I don't know why we did. But somehow in the last 20 or 30 years that I've been around this, when I got started in this business, we role played everything. And we got together for telephone sessions where four or five of us sat around a table and we listened to each other make phone calls, and we would pretend to call each other, and we'd practice what we were going to say. And I've really seen more and more companies kind of move away from that, partly because people are working from their homes, et cetera. But if we don't practice, I mean, could you imagine what it might be like to try to put an NBA basketball team on the court without practice?
Yeah, ask the Orlando Magic.
There you go.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not a follow the Magic so much.
I'm just a scoring fan. Don't mind that.
But if you think about that, I've heard people, sales executives tell me, "Hey, Bill, we don't really worry about training sales. We hire guys that already know how to sell." I mean, could you imagine that?
No.
Our guys already know how to play basketball. Well, it's silly.
Yeah. So
it's going to require some practice. If we're going to ask new questions, how are you going to be effective in front of a customer if you haven't practiced it at all? I think that what we end up doing is we'll go out and try this two or three times. It doesn't seem to work because we haven't practiced, and then we just give up and go back to the way we've been doing things. No, it's going to take definitely some practice to get this to sound right.
Can you imagine?
Feel right.
Yeah, going into this weekend Super Bowl and going, "Oh, we don't need any more practice."
Yeah,
those guys are practicing harder right now just to make sure. I mean, to get it down to it's a science. They have to.
We got the best coach and the best quarterback in history. We don't need to practice, man. They're just going to carry it through for us.
Well, they'll
cheat
anyway. They cheat, so it doesn't matter.
Ooh, whoa. I don't know how that's going to ride with our Northeast friends that are going to listen to this.
Oh, I'm just joking.
I love you guys up in the Northeast. Don't get me wrong.
They're freezing their tails off up there. Oh my gosh.
The guys in Orlando, I probably can't help you. I don't know.
The Magic should hire you. Trust me. Listen, this has been great. We have a couple of questions we always like to ask our guests on. First off, John, why don't you ask?
So, Bill, we always ask this, so everybody is waiting. And you said Swiss cheese. So what would be your favorite sandwich?
Good question. I actually am into chicken salad, believe it or not.
Chicken salad.
I said Swiss cheese, but I guess you could put Swiss cheese on chicken salad, but that's what I like best.
Okay, and what kind of bread?
Rye. You got to have rye, no?
If I can choose bread, I go with sourdough.
Ooh, sourdough.
Would it be grilled?
I go undrilled. Just give it to me straight. Yeah.
Okay. There's like a place around here called like Chicken Salad Chick or something like that. It's
chicken
like a,
salad. Yes.
I have been there. They got like 20 flavors or something.
Really?
That was pretty cool.
You know, John,
the other part of this is, Bill, I didn't know if you knew that you probably didn't. Somehow these emails just don't go out. But you're supposed to actually send in sandwiches prior to the show to David and I.
You're supposed to actually send your favorite sandwich to us before the show starts.
Oh, so you guys can like sample it?
Yeah. Yes. What happened? Yes. What happened? It's Fred's fault. He's not here today. He's out sick. We'll just blame Fred.
So I'm coming over to see you guys Friday morning. I'll swing by Chicken Salad Chick and pick up a few samples.
Don't bring any for me. You know what my problem with the chicken salad is, John?
What's
my
that?
And my this I just too
the
much,
mayonnaise
too much mayonnaise
too much mayonnaise. I'll take a chicken salad, absolutely. I don't care what time you bring it, Bill.
All right. Jeez. Pickle on the side.
Look at
pickle on the side.
Yeah, look at the size of me, for good sake.
We don't mind that mayonnaise.
Heck yeah.
And our second question always is, Bill, do you have any pets?
We do have a couple of pets. Yes. I should say my wife does. Let's say.
Let's guess. Do you have a dog?
We do not have a dog.
Okay.
Could be a lizard.
A cat.
We have two cats.
Two cats.
Yeah. What kind of cats are they?
Well, they are hairless cats.
Wow. So
the skin. Are they like the Siamese? What is it called?
Well, one is kind of a Siamese color. The other one's kind of a pink and gray colorish, which a lot of the hairless cats are. But I got to tell you, when we first got them, it was a little unusual, and you'd look at them and take a double take because, wait a second, that cat doesn't have any fur. But now, after having them for several years, when I see a cat that does have fur, I do a double take. It's like, what? Like, cat's got fur on it. What's wrong with that cat?
Well,
it's kind of like in the morning when you probably, you get up and you look in the mirror and
where are you going with this?
you used to have hair up top, and you might not have it now. I mean, that's what,
a very. I'm not sure that's a very. Now,
that's
nice
a good point. Now, I will say this though; it's kind of funny. Those hairless cats, they get so cold, even in the Florida winters, they just will do anything they can to get warm. And so it's been funny to watch them the last few days. They're just freezing, poor little guys with no hair on them. So,
do you have to shave them, or do they just naturally not grow hair? I have a lot of questions.
No hair.
I do too. Do you put clothes on them? A sweater? How about a cat sweater?
You know, I should talk to my wife about knitting some cat sweaters because they really do get cold. It's kind of funny. She's got a little
I think that's a winner. I think that's your next company right there.
No, I think we should get some little cat sweaters with a Star to Star logo on them.
Oh,
yes.
Well, you know what? They'd be easy. We could actually spray paint them a little bit. We could put a logo on them because there's no hair directly on them. We've talked about this a lot from marketing. We always wanted to send a cat or a dog.
You said you wanted to send a poodle or something.
A poodle. Yeah. Poodle with a Star to Star is like from our partner, brand new partner. Here's a gift from us. We send a poodle to them with our logo on it.
Shave the poodle and leave some hair where the logo is at.
Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So we're thinking, nice. This is good.
Yeah, you said to send a FedEx package. How about sending an actual dog? How would that be received by the customer?
I don't know how it's going to work as they fly it over there at 37,000 feet. I don't know, but... Maybe we have to send it ground.
Yeah.
I think that's a wise choice.
Better send it ground.
Yeah. Hairless cats. Wow. I did not see that coming.
I did not either. I was thinking, Oh, okay, Bill.
What are their names, Bill?
Cosmo and Daisy.
Cosmo and Daisy.
It would have been unbelievable if you said Cosmo and Kramer. I would have lost my... That would have topped the day
off. Let's just call them Cosmo and Kramer. Can we rename your cats in our own mind, in our own world?
I'll let my wife know. Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, Bill. Well, we thank you so much for joining with us. I know you gotta run. You gotta go on to the next thing. But we appreciate you giving us some time today, and we will see you again soon.
Thanks, Bill. Great talking to you.
Thanks for having me. See you later.
Bye.
Bye now.
Hairless cats.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
Cosmo and Kramer.
Oh, we just renamed Daisy.
Was it Daisy or Daisy? I think it was Kramer. He said. No, he said Daisy.
If he would have said Kramer, that would have been the ultimate.
Yeah. Hairless cats.
Hairless cats.
Maybe that'd be something. You know what we could do? We could tag in and send him something from our Thanks friends. Probably
a cat sweater. We could probably find that on Thanks.
We can find a cat
sweater. Let's look at that afterwards.
Let's do that.
Wow.
That was an amazing show.
They would scare me, hairless cats. Yeah,
it scares me. I don't even see them. I
think that's a bold choice to have a hairless cat. Like you got to be really into cats to have a hairless cat. But anyways, that Bill is fascinating. If you haven't heard of Bill, check out his book, Think Like a Customer. Bill Stinnett, Stinnett. Fantastic book. We all read it for our sales kickoff. And just his ideas are so simple.
Yes.
Yet so thought provoking, you know, sort of like, you know, why didn't I think of that? And just the way he presents things and the way he sort of talks through things, it's just really fascinating. And if you're a company out there looking for some sales training, look to Bill and his team. They are fantastic to work with. And he, you know, we had him in for our sales kickoff for a day and a half. And boy, our team loved it. I mean, it was just really, really
very
fun.
Interactive. It was team building as well. It was a great,
your like team building where like you're doing like trust falls and stuff like that. No,
no,
it
no,
was,
no.
It was actual, real like examples that you could take home with you and you could use on a daily basis on how to sell and how to just build relationships, because that's what sales really is, right?
It's exactly
your ability to have a relationship with someone and then extend that relationship into an opportunity. So
absolutely.
I mean, and that's really where Bill and his team are. And he's got a gentleman on his team named Miles who is, gosh, probably 10 years younger than me. And holy cow, is he smart?
Probably 10 times smarter.
Yeah,
than
well, at least
20 times smarter than me.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow. We're going to end with that, aren't we?
Anybody likes mayonnaise that much.
Okay.
So, no, but I mean, like, his whole team is full of really, really smart individuals, people who just really get it and are easily relatable. And, you know, sales training is one of those things where, you know, you may not see the results today or even tomorrow. Or even a month from now, but 3 months from now, 6 months from now, that's when it really starts to roll in, because it helps your team really expand their skill set. And it's something you can actually give to your team too, as a gift, because they can take it with them beyond the company they're at now and into their next job.
But we're also, we're talking about the ability of actually having some of these courses within Star to Star.
Yep.
So they can get some, you can get some accreditations from Bill's.
Yeah, we're going to be offering courses to our partners through from Bill through Sales Excellence on our LMS system.
Yeah.
We'll be coming out with them rather routinely, and you'll be able to take advantage of those. And then if you want to go beyond that and use Bill for some more, we'll welcome you to use your co-op dollars or things like that for those opportunities. So listen, it's going to be, it's he's awesome to work with. Couldn't recommend him more. And if you're looking for that kind of sales training, look no further than Mr. Stinnett and his team. So anything else for today, Mr. No, Roth?
I think it was just a great show. I think I always get kind of energized talking with Bill, because it's like we just kind of we click.
He's so easy to talk
to.
I mean, he's just like, even from the first day you and I met him, the first time he came in to our office.
Right.
And you don't know what to expect with these. You know, some I've met a few of these kind of people before, and you're always a little bit like, is it what he's selling real, or is it sorry, we may have to get the explicit tag. I'm sorry about that, Fred. And so, you know, he just, it's real, man. He just comes in and he brings it.
Well, you know what? It comes down to being, it's just simple. Sometimes salespeople try to make it so complicated, and it's not.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
You just follow the simple things that we do, and that's what Bill is really amplifies that. If he talks about it, he knows exactly what he's been doing for many years.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, David.
All right, John. We'll see you next time on Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.